You told me in your word how you are working all things for the good of those who will only believe. Every good and perfect gift comes straight from your hands. So remind me, Lord, of this when I need to hear it again, that you are good and you are holy, working all things for your glory. Sometimes I can't even comprehend how you are moving and you're working. My problems you are solving. I don't even know where to begin, 'cause you're so good. It's overwhelming. I've learned your ways are higher than my mind can conceive, far beyond all I could ever ask or think. And Lord, my heart is trusting in the wisdom of your plan. There's purpose in the pain, though I may not understand. Still, you are good and you are holy, working all things for your glory. Sometimes I can't even comprehend how you are moving and you're working. My problems you are solving. I don't even know where to begin, 'cause you're so good. It's overwhelming.
To the book of John. Open up your Bibles to the book of John. You pray for us, the Lord will help us tonight. Book of John, chapter number 3. Be a real familiar text of Scripture, and probably one that about everybody in here has got memorized at some point or time, and probably the most preached about text in your entire Bible. If the Lord will help us tonight, I want to add one more to that. Book of John, chapter number 3, verse number 16. And I might read just a few verses past that. I like all of it real good, but we're going to start reading in John chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we're already in bad shape. That's what the next verse says. Verse number 18. He that believeth on him, he is not condemned, but he that believeth not, he is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He said, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, we sure need your help tonight. God, I thank you for getting us here safe. Lord, I thank you tonight, God, for how you've spoken down in our heart today. And God, I pray for a few minutes of time. Lord, certainly you know tonight I'm not going to say nothing new. But God, I don't intend to say anything new anyhow. God, just intend to say, God, what's already been said. Father, I pray tonight, God, you give us good liberty and to help us to preach with unction from Almighty God. Father, I pray tonight, God, you'd help me, Lord, sure enough. Father, I need your help. I need your touch. And God, if you don't help us, we're in trouble. Father, I pray tonight you'd help me and to say the best thing that I ever have said about you. And if tonight's the last night, God, I pray, help us to go out, Father, worshiping you with all of our heart. And Lord, we sure love you tonight. I thank you for every heart and home that's here. And I pray that you'd give us all something, God, to get down the road with. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we bless your high and holy name. It's in Christ's name we humbly beg. And God, ask you all these favors. Amen and amen. I want to say this to you tonight, no doubt. Friend, we've got standing in our hand tonight the greatest book that's ever been written. Thank God, I don't believe that it was, thank God, written by man's thought, but I believe just what the scripture said. I believe that every ounce of this Bible was inspired by God himself. I believe that the holy men of God wrote as they was moved upon by the Holy Ghost of God. I believe, thank God, beginning in Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21, I believe there's not one mistake. I don't think there's one oops in that place. I don't believe there's not one place where God, when he penned down anything, wasted time, wasted ink, or wasted breath. I believe this is the very inspired word of an almighty God. That's why we don't change it. That's why we don't add to it. That's why we don't take away from it. Thank God, that's why God has preserved his word perfectly to every generation. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad tonight that I can still hold in my hand what I believe is not close to the word of God, what I believe is not part of the word of God, but I believe this is the very word of God. Amen. I believe this is the very word of God that framed the heavens. I believe this is the very word of God that the entire world rests its foundation on. And in the midst of this Bible, and there's so much good stuff, and my friend, it'd be hard pressed to pick out one thing that's better than anything else. I got thinking about this today, probably in the Old Testament, and maybe the book that's nearest and dearest to my heart, that would be that book of Ruth. And man, listen, I like all the Bible. Y'all understand that. Hey, listen to me, Brother Steve. I like Genesis. I like Exodus. But there's something about the book of Ruth where there's somebody way over here and they don't even know how to get over there. But the God in heaven had just started dropping out handfuls of purpose how to get them from one place all the way to the other. And that is all of our story, by the way. Amen. And that's the Gentile story. And boy, I like the book of Ruth. I like the book of Psalms, thank God. But when you flip over to the New Testament, and listen, friend, there ain't a book in the New Testament, as far as I'm concerned, that's any better than the Gospel of John. Man, there's something special. Hey, something special about his point of view.
Ain't something special about what he saw. Ain't something special about how he wrote. And we're not talking about just anybody. And not just a holy man. Have a Brother Rick, we're talking about a fella who had leaned his head on the bosom of Christ. And we're talking about a fella, thank God, who was one of the inner three. And that whenever he went up on Mount Transfiguration, and John was there. And he's not writing about something that somebody else said. And my friend, it was firsthand eyewitness account of what Christ did. And then what I like, I guess, about John so good is that when everybody else is gone at the scene of the cross, the air sets old John. Amen. And boy, listen, there's something special about John. I want you to understand this. Preacher Savage, I believe, and that because something special about John, I believe that's why God gave John so much good stuff to write down. I can't think of anybody. I mean, listen, thank God for the Apostle Paul. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. He gives us our doctrine. But man, there's something about what John got to say. Amen. And then right in the middle of this, I thought about this and I'm preaching a message. It'll be real short tonight. I'm just going to try to brag on the Lord for a minute, and then I'm going to be done. It will not be anything that you have not heard before. But I do want to say this. I think it's amazing that right in the middle, probably the best disciple who was following at the best time. Unless I believe God gives him the best verse in all the Bible. And now I know in our day, Brother Matt, we're always looking for a new best verse. But Brother Kevin, they ain't nothing hardly like John 3:16. Listen, thank God, I'm glad. Brother Bill, I got to reading one time. I got to reading about what old Spurgeon said. I've said it in this church before. But he said, why John 3:16 so good? He said, it's shallow enough that a little child can get in it and kick around in its waters. And he said, but it's deep enough. He said that the most well-studied men would drown in that verse. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God. Hey, something about that verse. I always think about this. I had no preacher, hallelujah, amen. I had no preacher one time tell me. He said, now, Brother Kevin, he said, when you get to studying your Bible and you get over there and the things you don't understand, and he said, it gets to choking you down. He said, just flip back to John 3:16 and say, thank God I understand that, amen. Oh, hallelujah. And so listen, that's been tried and true. I'm glad there's a lot of things. Hey, listen, I don't have all the tribulation figured out. I ain't got all the kingdom figured out. Thank God, but I'm glad I can flip back to John 3:16 and say that verse has settled in my heart. Amen. Oh, yes, listen, I'd say this tonight. There's probably not a verse in the Bible. If tonight, Brother Rod, if they took the Bible out of all of our hands, if they took the Bible out of every man, woman, boy, and girl tonight, and no doubt we probably, Brother Wayne, couldn't all get together and remember all the Bible. And we might remember parts of it, and we might remember a little bit of it. But I'd say this tonight, if they took the Bible out of every person's hand in this room, at least 95% of the people could start and say, for God so loved the world. Amen. I'd say this to you tonight, friend. There's enough in John 3:16 that if they took the Bible out of our hand forever, there's enough in that one verse to save every sinner that ever needs to be saved. There's enough in that one verse to keep every Christian laboring on for the glory of God. There's enough in that one single verse to help us endure every trial and every mile from here all the way to heaven. Amen. I'm saying this, thank God. Hey, something about that verse, amen. Hey, just something about it. You say, preacher, what makes it the greatest verse in the Bible? Let me say this to you tonight, friend. What makes it the greatest verse in the Bible is how it starts. He says, for God, amen. And boy, we start at the greatest source that the world's ever known. Is that right? And we didn't start with the Baptist and didn't say for the Baptist or for the Pope or for Muhammad or for Mahatma Gandhi. Oh no, thank God. It started at the highest source that you ever could start with. It started, thank God, Jordan Potter, and the best place you could start. And it just says for God. And you don't get no greater than that. Amen. I mean, listen, what about that, neighbor? And we stand in this place. It's not by Abraham. It's not by Moses. It's not by Paul. It's not even by John. He said, for God. And now I know we about got over that. But don't forget tonight that the supreme being of all of eternity, and the high and the lofty one, amen, and the ancient of days, and the everlasting, and the mouth of God of all glory, and decided in himself how that he would pin this down, amen. And so, honey, it just says for God. Have you ever get over the fact that it was God that loved you, neighbor? I mean, it's God, thank God. It's God, amen. I mean, we're standing here right now. All of us ought to be in hell. But that Bible rings out and it says for God. I mean, listen, I got a lot of folks I got a lot of confidence in, but not nobody I got more in than that, amen. For God, amen. And what about that, friend? And listen, I've read a lot of things from a lot of different folks, but that is without a doubt the greatest source that's ever been recorded is for God. And then I like the next part real good, Allie. It said, so loved, amen. That's the greatest sentiment. You understand tonight that the greatest emotion we have, it is not fear. It is not anger. It's not bitterness. The greatest emotion known to man, it is love, amen. I want you to hear, don't you miss his. Thank God, fear will cause you to do a lot of things. Fear will cause you to do a lot of things. Anger will cause you to do a lot of things. But man, they ain't nothing like that emotion of love. Have that emotion of love. It'll cause you to do things that nobody else would even understand. And to do it without even questioning it. I was thinking about this. Listen to me, friend. And what moved God to do what he done? And God didn't send his son out of anger, although he could have. And that could have been his motivation. He could have sent him down out of anger and said, destroy everybody there and let's be done with it. He could have sent his son down, a friend, out of bitterness for the way that we had treated God. He could have sent his son down with a lot of different emotions. But it was the love of God, amen, that brought him down to this world. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm glad Romans 5:8 still in the Bible. For God commended his love toward us. We probably could hook those two trains up and I have a pretty good train going, couldn't we? Amen. Let's start in John 3:16. And put a caboose with Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, amen, Christ died for us. And boy, it feels pretty good, thank God. And knowing there's a God in heaven and that loved us in the shape we was in. And loved us then. And he loves us now, amen. Oh, yes, listen, I got thinking about that. I mean, there's a little thing hanging on our wall out there at the house where we celebrated our last year, whenever it was, that we celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary. And my wife presented me with this thing. And on the wall, it says something other like this, to this effect. It said, I love you then, and I love you. Now, how's that go? How's that start off, honey? It said, I love you now, and I love you then. Something, I love you forever. It rhymes, not like that, though, amen. But I'm going to say this to you. It's a mighty good blessing to understand that Allison's loved me at my good times. Amen. But now listen, that's not where God found me. Amen. And that's not where God found you at either. And we were not even a little bit lovable. And we were altogether unlovable. And when God sent his son for us. Amen. Oh, yes. That's how I love you now, then. I love you still. I always have and always will. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. I about got in trouble on that one. That's why I don't quote things off my walls. Amen. I'm saying this to you. It is a blessing to know there's a God in heaven that loves us in the condition and in the shape we're in. That's what makes it the greatest verse. It starts with the greatest source. It goes to the greatest sentiment. It said, for God so loved. But oh, thank God. It spreads out to the greatest scope. And thank God that verse alone, Pat. That's why I'm not a Calvinist. And for God so loved the world. Amen. Unless I was sitting there just praying and thinking about it today. And I thought, Lord in heaven, I don't even know how you have the capacity to love the whole world. And yet, Brother Savage, I do believe that. Amen. I believe God loves every person in this whole world. I believe his blood was shed for every sinner, a man, woman, boy, and girl. I believe it reached down to the jungles of Africa. I believe it all reached all the way to Chicago. Everywhere we sing that song, Winslow Sam, red and yellow, black and white, and they are precious in his sight. And boy, I didn't think too much about that then. But I'm telling you, God loves every one of them, amen. It's a mighty big world, thank God. And in the mighty big world, he's a mighty big God who gave his mighty best son to save whosoever, amen. And boy, that's pretty good, thank God. That's pretty good that you can take this Bible right here and to go wherever you want to go. And take that one verse to whoever you want to take it to. And tell them to take out the name world and put in their own name. And that verse will read the same way and the same shape and do the same thing. But it gets a little personal, amen. And for God so loved Kevin, amen. And boy, you get down to there, amen. I'm glad he can love everybody else. But boy, that's a mighty big deal to me. That there's a God in heaven that loves me. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, it's a pretty good verse. Amen. I mean that God would love us. Not just anybody. But God would love you. Amen. And you've heard me say this, but it is nonetheless true. Everybody in this room's giving God reasons not to love them. Amen. Amen. Thank God. And help us all, wouldn't it, right there? And to sit in here sometimes, thank God. And we come in the house of God and sit down. And when we sit down, there's a God in heaven knows what shape we're in. And knows what we've done, knows where we've been. And I can't attest to nobody else. But sometimes the guiltiness of even past sin starts to weigh pretty heavy on a feller's shoulders sometimes. Sometimes they just become. I mean, it's like the devil just, he reaches way back there and he brings them all up in waves full and they come crashing on your soul again. And you say, God in heaven, I don't know why in the world that you would even love me in the shape I'm in. But then I can go back to John 3:16 and I can say, it don't matter what I feel, God's word still reads the same way. For God so loved the world, amen. That's all of us. Ain't that a blessing to be in this place and to know there's a God who loves it. That's the greatest source. That's the greatest sentiment. That's the greatest scope. So loved the world. And he gave his only begotten son. That's the greatest sacrifice, amen. That's what makes that the greatest verse in the Bible. It's not Abraham offering up Isaac. It's not, thank God, somebody offering up a lamb or a ram or a turtle dove. It's the God of glory offering up his only begotten son. And now listen, if that don't do it for you, you're probably in the wrong religion, amen. Unless I understand, in America, that's not enough anymore. But I'm telling you, Christ is enough. That's all that anything else should move us. If just nothing else moves us, that somebody ought to point to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had robed himself in the veil of flesh, endured like nobody had ever endured, and went up to the cross of Calvary, and suffered and bled like nobody ever has, and he done it all just for us. Amen. Pretty good sacrifice, I'd say, Cam. Now listen, I'll assure you of this. I don't know who Cameron in here loves the most. Probably me, I'd say. But I don't know who he'd love in here more than that. But I'm talking about outside of his family. I'm talking about outside of social and his mom and dad. I understand. I don't compete with that. But I'm just saying this. I don't know who he loves in here the most. But I promise you, whoever you think you are, if it came time to offering up Liam and killing him for you, I promise you, you're out and he's in. Amen. And I wouldn't blame him a bit. Thank God. I'd even say to him, Miss Irene, if it came down to where I was at, I'd say, let Liam live, let Kevin die. I thank God I deserve to and he don't. But that's the wonder of God, that the God in heaven has so loved the world, amen, and that he gave his only begotten son. And lest you forget, and the son gave himself, amen, and God gave the son, and the son gave himself, and the Holy Spirit of God makes it real, that you and I might come back to God and by him, amen. I'm telling you, Christ is enough, amen. That is the greatest sacrifice. Greatest sacrifice. Listen, I'm telling you, thank God. I'm so glad that it didn't happen in a back alley. Listen, I'll tell you what, listen, I don't want to shipwreck folks 2 Wednesday nights in a row. But I'm going to tell you this. Before they were 7 continents, I believe that Jerusalem is the very center of the world. I believe it's the very dead center of the earth. And right in the very dead center of the earth, right in the center of time, right in the center of everything, as far as God's concerned, he put his son right there. I believe that's to show you and I that everybody from the east, west, north, and south had the same access to him. Amen. And then he suffered outside the gate so that you and I could get to him. And thank God for that. You understand tonight? Listen, I know we don't get a whole lot of it. But in the Old Testament, you and I was in trouble. And we could maybe see the brazen laver. And we could maybe see the brazen an altar, but that's as far as we could ever get. We'd never see the candlelight. We'd never see the table of showbread. We'd never get to the altar of incense. And we sure could never get to the mercy seat. And so since we couldn't get to the mercy seat, God brought the mercy seat to us. Amen. And outside of Jerusalem that day, thank God, outside the hill, outside the temple, on that hill called Calvary. And one feller said one time, how do you know it was a hill? Because everything in Jerusalem's a hill, amen. And you go look at it geographically, and the whole place is a hill, thank God. And on a hill called Golgotha, and there the greatest sacrifice the world has known or will know happened for you and me, amen. Oh, yes. Out there, I believe that he suffered like nobody ever suffered. Greatest suffering. I believe nobody ever suffered like Christ suffered that day. I really do believe that. You do with this whatever you want to, but I really do believe that they couldn't have killed him no matter how much they beat him. I believe, thank God, listen, I believe it wouldn't have made no difference how much they done. You say, preacher, why you believe that? And the Bible says, for it's the wages of sin, his death. Listen, he had never earned death. He wasn't no sin in him, on him. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. I believe, thank God, he'd have took every beating. I believe that they'd have beat him beyond recognition. I believe that every bone was out of place. I believe that there was blood sopping off of him. And yet as he stayed there that day, I believe until he bowed his head and yielded up the ghost, he would have sat there until he dismissed and discharged his own spirit. And even when he dismissed it, thank God to let you know it was of his own free will. He didn't bow his head and say it's finished. And thank God he raised it up and cried it out and said it is finished. And that is not the cry of a weak man, but of a strong God. And letting you know, thank God, that the greatest sacrifice had just been completed. Amen. That don't get us into heaven, nothing will. You can't do that. Amen. Greatest sacrifice. Thank God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. at whosoever. That's the greatest summons. Amen. Ain't that right? Thank God. That's the greatest. You say, preacher, how many is that? That's whosoever will. Thank God. How boy, that's one of my favorite words, Brother Matt, in the whole Bible. That's whosoever will. That God would reach down to where we was at and to call out. I mean, I believe he means that for everybody, don't you? I mean, I really do mean that. Thank God. Hey, listen, if I didn't believe that, I'd just quit church. I'd quit reading my Bible. I'd quit door knocking and I'd quit preaching. Yeah. Yeah, but I really believe every time I stand up and declare what thus saith the Lord, I believe the sweet Holy Ghost of God has a way of going back to where sinners are and saying, I've done it for you. I've done it for you. I've done it for you. Amen. And that invitation says, come. Come, come. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I thank God, friend, whosoever wants to get in, can get in. Amen. That's right. Listen, you'll have to come his way, though. Now listen, I'm not a used car salesman. I'm not trying to cut you no deals. This ain't a try this thing out and go. This is God's demand and his declaration. You will die in your sins and go to hell apart from Christ. The only way to get in, Christ made. God made a means through Christ. It's not a maybe so. It's not a bargain, thank God. Hey, you don't get to come in and say, God, I'll do this if you'll do that. And no, he's already done what'll be done. And if you won't in, thank God, it'll come in through repentance and by faith in Christ. Amen. If you don't come that way, you'll not come. God so loved, that is the greatest summons. Whosoever. Boy, aren't you glad you're a whosoever? You ever been a whosoever? You remember when you was a whosoever? And the word of God came down to where you was at. I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell it to you again. It don't make me no difference. I remember reading Martin Luther way back in them days of Reformation. Martin Luther said this. He said them Catholics, they would go up the... They would go up that whatever they called their churches, not churches, whatever that terminology is, temple, so to speak, cathedral, they'd go up through there and they'd crawl up on their knees. And then when they get to the top of their knees, they were supposed to be absolved of their sins. And it said that old Luther went up on his knees and he crawled up that thing when he got to the top. He said, do you feel any different? He said, who knows if this worked or not? He said, I don't have any idea if that helped me or not. But then there came a day he got to reading Romans chapter number 3. And he came to the terms of justification by faith. He got to realizing that, bless God, you don't get in by the works of these hands, by the deeds of your lips or where your feet go. He realized that Christ done it for him. In German, he said, for mich, for mich. And that is to say, for me. For me. And boy, when you realize Christ done that all and he done it for you, neighbor, and then you're getting ready to get somewhere with Christ. The greatest summons. Whosoever believeth in him, that's the greatest step. Listen, you say, preacher, why do you think that's the greatest step? Ain't no other step can get you from here to heaven but that one. That's a mighty big step. Thank God. Listen, I mean, I don't even know how you even do it. All I know is this. About the time I took one step out of my seat, what was that? Yeah. That old feller said when he landed on the moon, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That's what happened when I got born again as a 7-year-old boy. Yeah. I took one small step out of my seat and one giant leap into another world. Amen. And thank God, yeah. Night. As far as the world's concerned, I ain't been right since then. Amen. And as far as God's concerned, I ain't been wrong since then. Amen. And you say, preacher, how do you know that? Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm telling you, thank God, the greatest step you'll ever take in your life will be a step toward Christ. Amen. And I'll say this, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest security you can ever have. 25 words written down there. Y'all, some of you particularly remember this. But I remember whenever I was sitting by myself, I didn't read this out of a book, Tammy. I was sitting by myself one day and I got to counting the words. There's 25 words in John 3:16. And listen, there's 13 on one side, and there's 13 on or 12 on one side rather, and 12 on the other side. First 12 of them, they're all Godward, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. And then on the other side, it's all manward. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the one word right in the middle of those 25 words that link heaven and earth, the one word that links God and man, that word son, right in the middle of that. Now look up here, neighbor. That didn't happen by accident. Amen. He was a holy man. Ain't smart enough to do something like that. And when John was writing that book, he wasn't thinking about that. But there's a God in heaven that said, hey, you put Christ right in the middle of that verse. Have there's only one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Right in the middle of that verse. There he is. Just like he's right in the middle of this book. Right in the middle of everything. That's the greatest verse in the whole Bible. For the greatest security. Aren't you? If you're saved, I'm glad I'm not just saved for a little while. Folks that have everlasting life for 10 years, listen, that math don't math, neighbor. Y'all listen to me, praise God. I don't know how long eternal life is and how long everlasting life is, but it's longer than what you've been here. Amen. And if you only had everlasting life for 40 years, I'm persuaded to believe you never had everlasting life. I just thought you did. Might have got your emotions stirred up. There's a lot of folks got their emotions stirred up, said they got saved, and they went right back to what they was, and they never were changed. And that's given the Bible and the Baptist bad names. But unsaved people are unsaved people. Got nothing to do with saved people. Saved people are eternally saved. God said it. I don't care how many verses you try to put together, you ain't got but about five, and they're all out of context. Say amen, that's right. In the middle of this greatest verse ever written, God gave us the greatest scope, greatest summons, greatest source, greatest sacrifice, and ended it up with the greatest security. So when we walk out of here, you have done everything he said. You came to Christ by faith, and you're saved forever, according to that Bible. And if you ain't, you ain't. Greatest verse in your Bible. Stand to your feet, I've cleared my heart. Like, I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're looking for a lot of things. Allison, you come play something, honey. You're looking for a lot of things, a lot of different things, a lot of different places. But that one verse is enough to change everybody's life in this room. That one verse. Ain't it amazing? I don't know who it was, decided a long time ago that said this is the verse that every young kid's going to learn to start off with. But outside of John 11:35, that's the second verse I learned. I learned John 11:35 first. Jesus wept. The second verse I learned, John 3:16. And I've been quoting John 3:16 since I've been about 4 years old. And I've been in a lot of places that the devil's took a lot of things out of my heart. There's one verse that its roots are so deep. For God so loved the world. I've preached about it in my sleep. I woke up thinking about it going down the road. There's one verse that it doesn't matter what happens. It's in there and it's in there real good. That's John 3:16. I don't know where you at tonight. If everybody's good with the Lord, why you just pray for those today. And honey, you play some song. Josh, if you're going to sing, I don't know, whatever you feel like you want to do.